Today is Sexagesima Sunday. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today. The collection envelopes will be distributed by the ushers after Holy Communion at today's Mass. Included are envelopes for the next 3 months and Easter Sunday. Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament will be this evening at 6 p.m. Wednesday, there will be a talk on the Catholic faith from 6:45 to 7:45 p.m. in the hall. We will be continuing the instructions from the Baltimore Catechism number 3 with lessons 21 and 22 explaining the six commandments of the church. So we have blessing of the articles today. Collection envelopes will be given out. Benediction at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday is the next talk in the series on the faith. The feasts this week, Wednesday is the feast of the chair of St. Peter, and is always a commemoration of St. Paul whenever it's a feast of St. Peter, and there's always a commemoration of St. Peter when it's a feast of St. Paul. They're so intimately linked. And we won't say anything about that except if you recall a couple of weeks ago when Father had the talk in the hall, he went into the very explanation of why we talk about the chair, ex cathedra, if you remember that. And here is a feast celebrating that authority that Christ has given to the church, and in particular to St. Peter. Also on that day, but not on the universal calendar, is the feast of St. Margaret of Cortona, the only other saint besides St. Mary Magdalene to be given the title of penitent. So a great example for us during this season, and particularly on this day. Thursday is the feast of St. Peter Damian. A wonderful story, cannot go into it now, of love of God, and this great saint was a tremendous reformer at a time very similar to the time we have today. He was fighting against all of the abuses that we are fighting against, in particular the concubinage among the priests and the unnatural vice that is plaguing us today. He was fighting that at that time also. And then we have Friday, the feast of St. Matthias, who was the apostle to take the place of Judas. Wonderful story. The only thing we will mention is that, as all the apostles are remembered in the canon of the Mass, if you'll note, you'll see that St. Matthias is not listed with the other apostles before the consecration. He comes after the consecration because, as liturgists tell us, he was chosen and became an apostle after the passion and death and resurrection. So he comes after the consecration of Mass. Just a note there. There's a blessed who is not on the calendar, universal calendar. And we just want to mention, if you remember the story, this is the story of a, you don't have time to go through all the details, but this is a priest during the French Revolution. He was just a parish priest, and he would not swear to the new civil constitution of the clergy, which was the Masonic usurpers of the government. We're imposing this on the church, and every priest had to sign a pledge to this, and there were many that did not. St. John Vianney was a, for all of us who are growing up in very unusual times, just to mention St. John Vianney, he grew up in these days. He received his first Holy Communion at age 13, which that was not too unusual, but it was a little bit later than normal, in a barn. Because they had taken over all the churches, and the true Catholics, the traditional Catholics, had to have Mass in barns and give out sacraments there. And this priest, Blessed Noel Pinault, was one of the priests that went traveling to the barns to preserve the faith. And in his region of France, the people rose up against this tyranny and regained their churches, by war. It's a great story, the story of the Vendée. Can't go into details. And so this priest was able to come back to his parish church and say Mass. Well, that didn't last too long. And so the revolutionaries came in, took over, and they took this priest. He was on his way to the altar. And they took him and dragged him off in his vestments and then executed him, guillotine. And he came to the execution wearing the vestments for Mass. And he walked up to the scaffold and he said, Intruibo ad altare Dei. I will go to the altar of God. What a perfect sacrifice. We remember him and we ask for his help in days similar to the ones he lived in. And in particular, at the communion of the Mass, we'll say the same words. We've said them at the foot of prayers for the altar, but at the communion, we'll say the same words. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, and it's a long epistle, just to tell everyone as you're listening, just so you get context right away so you can hear it and understand it better. St. Paul is writing to this city in Greece that he evangelized, spent a lot of time there with these people, and it must have been an unusual group. It was a very wealthy merchant city, pagan. There were some Jews there, but it was a pagan place. And, okay, can't go through details. We'll just say that we know he himself had two epistles to these people. There are believed to be two others from St. Paul that we just do not have. But that's not all, because St. Clement, a future pope, the third pope, Linus Clatus Clement, he had to write a letter to these people too about the year 100. So there was a lot of things going on in this city. But one of the things that was happening at the time of St. Paul was that there were people that were coming in and saying that they were apostles too. They were not the 12 apostles. They were other messengers. And they said, we are greater apostles than St. Paul, so listen to us. And so if you have that in mind, you're going to hear better what St. Paul is saying to the Corinthians. He's going to be talking about, you know those people that keep telling you that they're the greater apostles? Let's compare notes. That's what he's going to do. Brethren, you gladly put up with fools because you are wise yourselves. For you suffer it if a man enslaves you, if a man devours you, if a man takes from you, if a man is arrogant, if a man slaps your face. I speak to my own shame as though we had been weak in this matter. But wherein any man is bold, I am speaking foolishly. I also am bold. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I, to speak as a fool, am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in lashes above measure, often exposed to death. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 lashes less one. Thrice I was scourged. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was adrift on the sea. In journeyings often, in perils from floods, in perils from robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and hardships, in many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. Besides those outer things, there is my daily pressing anxiety, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I am not inflamed? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that concern my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knows that I do not lie. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of the Damascenes in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hands. If I must boast, it is not indeed expedient to do so, but I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words that man may not repeat. Of such a man I will boast, but of myself I will glory in nothing save in my infirmities. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I forbear lest any man should reckon me beyond what he sees in me or hears in me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should puff me up, there is given me a thorn for the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Concerning this I thrice besought the Lord that he might leave me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for strength is made perfect in weakness. Gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the strength of Christ may dwell in me. Please stand for the gospel. Holy gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. At that time, when a very great crowd was gathering together and men from every town were resorting to Jesus, he said in a parable, The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside and was trodden underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. And other seed fell upon the rock, and as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell upon good ground, and sprang up and yielded fruit a hundredfold. As he said these things, he cried out, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But his disciples then began to ask him what this parable meant. He said to them, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Now those upon the rock are they who, when they have heard, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, but believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns, these are they who have heard, and as they go their way are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not ripen, but that upon the good ground, these are they who with a right and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bear fruit in patience. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are right in the middle of this very short season of Septuagesima, and you heard last week about the naming of these Sundays. This is called Sexagesima, in the 60th day from Easter. It's not exactly that. We are supposed to convert. This is a time of conversion. You know, they say whenever you're in battle, we're in battle. The spiritual battle. Know thy enemy. And so this season, for us to convert, we have to recognize what is against us getting to heaven. What is the enemy? Who is the enemy? We know it's the devil. And so last week, we heard and learned about the first problem, and that is Adam and Eve's sin. We learned all about the details. This is through the office of the church. And how we inherit that sin, and it's called original sin, and we all have it. We are, in baptism, it's washed away, but the remnants are still in us, and that's where we have to fight. Our human nature is still intact. It is weak, but it is still a good thing. God says, we learned that last week too, he saw everything he created that it was good. So we do not hold to the false teaching of non-Catholics that we are evil. We have inherited a terrible burden from our parents, Adam and Eve. But we have the tools with which to fight that. So that's the first thing we have to realize and recognize during this season. We all carry this with us. This Sunday is taking us to the next thing. We're not free of sin ourselves. We also are guilty. We are guilty of actual sins, mortal and venial sins. This comes across to us in the readings of the church in the office about Noah and the flood. It's the beginning. We start in Genesis, and we're just working our way through the great patriarchs. This will continue through Lent, leading up to the redemption in Holy Week. So now we come to Noah, and what is the great drama of his life is that God saw that men had become evil. Their actions had become sinful. And he repented of ever having created. And he said, I will destroy and rebuild. And he took Noah, the one just man, and his family, and had him build the ark. You know the story. But what is being taught to us is the evil of actual sins, which we ourselves commit. Know the enemy. We are our own worst enemy. And so this is a time of conversion. First, knowing the enemy. We are the enemy. And so coming from that is, as we've had in the past, we all know that everything we are speaking and saying is something that's been handed down to us. You may be hearing the exact words being said that you may have heard over the years. Because this is the time for an examination of conscience. And we have the beautiful little pamphlet that everyone loves because we're constantly reprinting them. I don't know, hundreds, thousands of them. So this is the time to take that home if you don't have it with you and just peruse it. Because this is a time, we're thinking of past sermons where Father would go through an examination of conscience just as people would do in a retreat. He would simulate that for everyone. We cannot do that. We don't have the time. So we have to rely on your generosity to pick up that examination of conscience and look at it and read it carefully so that you can know what it is we're going to be fighting shortly, starting with Ash Wednesday. That is the time to now fight against these things. First, we have to recognize them. We think of people that go into all kinds of therapy sessions. And the first thing that they say about all of these therapy sessions is the person has to first admit they have a problem. Hi, I'm John. I am a fill in the blank. There's so many of these type help groups. Hi, I'm John. I'm a sinner. I was born with original sin, and I've committed many actual sins. I'm a sinner. God help me. And without going through the details of all of the different commandments and how to examine our own conscience, here's a clue you've heard before. By the way, this is just in the spiritual combat, it's good to go after one vice at a time. And so over a lifetime, we will remove them all. As our Lord said, we will bear fruit in patience. So it's not usually recommended to attack on all fronts. It's best to attack one thing first. And one of those things that we can single out is our predominant fault. What is that expression of original sin in us which is the most dominant. We all have original sin, but it comes out in us, each of us, in different ways. We can trace the ways. We call them the seven capital sins. And the examination of conscience goes into that too, by the way. So you can figure out, you'll look and see, well, I have all the seven capital sins. Well, that's correct. But if you want to figure out which one is it that really is the one that marks me, think of it this way. You can just, and people do this all the time, self-help things also. They say, keep a log of how much time you spend each day on something. Or you know how they work it. Well, here's one for you. Just mentally or whatever, for a day, record to yourself what it is that you're always thinking of. Are you always thinking of eating? Are you always thinking of trying to get rich? Are you always thinking of trying to get some sleep? Or trying to get out of work? Or any kind of list of pleasures? Always trying to figure out the next time I can do exercise? Beautify myself? Whatever. You can go down the list. See, that's where the examination comes in. When you, after that day of just keeping a mental record, you're going to discover there is something I'm always thinking of. That is the predominant fault. That's the thing this season is to make us aware of. So in Lent, we attack it. We don't have to wait till Lent. We can start attacking now. But that's what this season is for. Find out who the enemy is, what the enemy is, and so we can attack it. Now, if anyone can think, the thing I'm mostly thinking of every day is I'm thinking of God. Well, you're on the right road. That's what we should be doing. Okay, we have to just say something. That's the season that we're in, to give us that overview, so we know what we're about. But about this particular Mass, this is such an unusual season in this sense too. It's almost the season of St. Paul. He is such a saint that is held up to us for examination and imitation. Perhaps because he is the best example of conversion. Is he the greatest one of conversion? You know, we think of St. Augustine, St. Mary Magdalene. But is St. Paul the greatest? Was he just because he was the first, maybe? But this season, he dominates. Every epistle of this season is from St. Paul, leading us up to next week, which is the last instruction, how we enter into Lent. So last week he tells us, do not waste your time beating the air. We have a goal. We have a prize of heaven. We have to fight for it. And then today, he gives this great defense of himself. But in it, he has to reveal his heart. St. John Chrysostom, who said, the heart of Christ is the heart of St. Paul, talked about the fact that St. John Chrysostom said, I want to go to where he is buried, and I want to hold his ashes. And you know, we are there today. Today the Mass is at the Stational Church of St. Paul outside the walls of Rome. We are there. We are holding St. Paul. We are holding that heart that's like our Lord's. So he's our great example of conversion. And then we have to go to the gospel, where our Lord, this is a gospel recounted by all the synoptic gospel writers, where we have St. Luke telling it here. Are we like this? Our Lord was at St. Peter's home in Capernaum, and he finished speaking to the people, and then he just took a walk out, and this is right on Lake Genezareth, because it's a fishing village. And so he started walking along the shoreline, and all the people in the house just piled out after him. And it was a main thoroughfare for travelers, And they saw this and they joined in. And the people were coming from all different towns just to see our Lord. I say, are we like that? Are we seeking our Lord out? I recall last year, see, we'll talk about this when we get into Lent more, but you know, one of the big things of Lent is the study of the catechism by the catechumens who are going to be baptized. And we just said last year, well, that might be a nice idea to go through the catechism. Well, I did, because as St. Paul warned us last week, I worry, St. Paul says, I worry that I who have preached to others, I myself will be cast out. So last year I said, oh, that's a good idea for everybody. Yeah, for everybody. And I learned a lot last Lent. But we're doing it again. It's a constant thing. We're doing it on these Wednesday nights. And not everyone can come, but how many people even avail themselves of it? That's the beauty of this one. We're recording this and it's on the internet. How many people are even just doing that? Aren't we starving to hear our Lord speak through his priests, to hear the doctrines, the holy doctrines, to know how to live? These people did, and they flocked to him. They flocked to him so much that where he was walking was not enough room. So he got into a boat, and they believe it was St. Peter's, and he just had the apostles take him out from the shoreline. So all the people came up to the shoreline, and our Lord was in a boat saying these things to them. Can you imagine it? And this is such a fantastic, for those of us who like numbers and things, he tells it as this. There are four groups of people. Where are they here in this little chat? So there's four groups. You know, we cut it down the middle right there, we got half, and then cut the pews in half, and he goes through, I don't know which group we're going to go with there. You can figure out, might be mixed a little bit. But our Lord gives the four groups of people. And he says, this is what happens. He is the sower. He sows the seed, the word of God. And it falls in these four different areas, and the scripture scholars tell us exactly, because the people on the shoreline are listening to him and saying, that's right, we just walked down this little path next to these fields of corn. And there's nothing growing here. So he's describing exactly what these people know about. And so the seed fell on the almost concrete walkway that the people had walked on. So the seed didn't do anything there. And he went through all of these descriptions. The one about it fell on the rocky ground, in the Latin it says, it did not have any humorem, you know, humus. We get our word humility from that. So in the Latin, you're hearing it saying, it fell on the ears of people who do not have humility. So where are we? Are we the ones that as soon as we hear the word, the devil just comes and he just takes it right away from us? It's like the birds of the field just pulling it up, taking it away. Or we don't have any humility and we don't want to bend to anything. We don't listen to it. Or we're the ones, and this might be where we learn from our predominant fault test, that sounds great. I love this. God, I love you. And then I walk out the doors and then, okay, good. We got that taken care of. Where are we going to go for breakfast? What are we going to do today? We got the rest of the day. What are we going to do? These are all the concerns and the thorns and briars and everything that grow up around that seed and smother it. But see, you're going to be working on those predominant faults and figuring out which one is the one that's cutting you off from the word. And we have the great, our Blessed Mother, because it's so interesting how, I haven't counted it, I don't know, but one of the most common gospels about the Blessed Virgin Mary is the one on the votive masses on Saturday, and so we just had it yesterday. And it's extremely short. We will hear it again in Lent, believe it or not. And the woman in the crowd, can't give the details, but praises the Mother of Christ based on what she just heard him say. And he said, wait, But you haven't, it's good, but you're not perfect. Rather, you should say about my mother that she is the one, well, he didn't say, he was saying it in a way, he didn't say, this is my mother's description, but he meant it that way. Blessed is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it. So if we want, and this is, and all the great scripture, spiritual writers tell us, if you want to get to heaven, the Saint Alphonsus absolutely says this, a clear sign that you are going to get to heaven is that you have devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So if the Blessed Virgin Mary says, say the rosary every day, those who hear will do that. That's like a chain that's going to just take you to heaven. The Blessed Mother is not going to let anybody get lost that prays the rosary. But this is the Blessed Mother. Blessed is the one who hears the word and keeps it. That's today's parable. Hear the word and keep the word. Don't let it be wasted. But then, even then, our Lord says that those few, that quarter of the group that hear the word, even there, there'll be 30-fold return, 60-fold return, and 100-fold. Even among those who hear the word, there's going to be different responses. So great a psychologist is our Lord of how we are. So there we have it. We have today's words of St. Paul telling us that we have to be generous and not be puffed up, as he said. You know, when we recognize our sinfulness, he says, that is our glory. Because in our weakness, God gives us strength. And then in the gospel, we have the call to conversion. It's a constant call, but here it is becoming more imminent, more in front of us for the season that's ahead. So at this Mass, let us ask God to give us the light to know ourselves, we who are enemies of our own salvation. We have to overcome ourselves and then receive our Lord in Holy Communion, pray to take us to heaven, and remember Blessed Noel in the communion. I will go to the altar of God. May God bless you.